Next man up, 102.5, The Game, Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis from News 2, Parker Kelly with you on your Wednesday morning. We are broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Should be a fun show today. It is college football week zero. We have real-life college football coming up this weekend. The Titans getting ready for their final joint practice and preseason game over the next few days against the Bears. Corey Curtis, how are you this morning?
You know the answer to that question.
Corey's a little tired this morning.
Getting old is terrible. And I'm sorry for the people who join me in it who don't think that it's terrible. But like, there's just more problems than there are good things, you know? So I went in yesterday and I got... Let me turn this microphone. Is that better?
There you go.
It just keeps turning.
Yeah, it is. It's got a mind of its own.
And it's got wires.
We can try and fix it.
No, I'm going to do this. I'll look at Connor Parker Onion over there. How you doing, man?
I'm not even going to respond. I'll just look in Jake's general direction.
Do you know who Connor Onion is?
I actually don't know who Connor Onion is.
He's a play-by-play guy.
Yeah,
isn't he?
for Fox now.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Southern Illinois graduates. By the way.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, so that was a big name in our circles here this last summer. Also, my mentor was also his mentor.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So we know who did better. So getting old, I used to be. I would like to be again an avid runner. I used to run 4, 5, 6 days a week. I've run multiple marathons, many half marathons, Ironman, done all that stuff. I'm now paying the price. My knees hurt all the time.
The joints are starting to feel it a little bit, starting to ache.
I know most of you know I had knee surgery last November to fix a torn meniscus. I am over that, okay? That I finally got all that worked out. But now both knees hurt because I have arthritis. I have arthritis in both of them. It hurts at the exact same spot, and it hurts the exact same way all the time. So when I had the torn meniscus, I would go through like – one day I just walk wrong and I could almost not walk. And so that's all fixed. That's why it's like this. And I saw the pictures inside my knee after the surgery. You could see the arthritis right there.
Gotcha.
And that was just in my left knee. And I didn't have it in my right knee. And then like 3 months ago, it showed up in my right knee. So I went back to the doctor yesterday. He gave me a steroid shot in both knees. I feel good. The knees feel good.
Yeah.
However, the thing I forgot about it is, for me, it can interrupt my sleep when you get those steroid shots. And I got two of them. I was up till 5 a.m., okay? I'm working on two and a half hours sleep right now. And I'm a talking monkey. So if I say stupid stuff, I mean, I know I'm stupid to begin with. I'm more stupid today.
We're all good with stupid stuff. Just FCC safe is all we ask for.
So Corey's going to be even more of a promo machine today is what
I'm
hearing.
Is true. We're all going
I
to be.
I still haven't heard the one where I say I hate
you're
everyone.
You're going to hate everyone at this station even more than you do
You're
before.
Good for like 5 to 7 good promos every time you come on the show.
So let me tell you a story real quick.
Go ahead.
So we do every day on WKRN Plus, our free streaming app. I invite everyone to download it. We do Sports Extra Daily from 6:30 to 7, sports talk show with myself, Julian Minnesota, and Kendall Lanier, some variety of us. And I was the only one there one day. So we have several other younger guys on our staff who are sports oriented. And when we're short a person, they will join me. And one of them, his name is Pat, and he was on with me on Monday when the Jed York story broke.
Oh.
And we're talking. And he said, we're doing the show, and he's like, it's quite obvious he's a sex addict, I think. And I go, whoa! You can't say that.
You have to say allegedly.
Yeah, well, he goes, that was the joke the rest of the show with everything. We see like allegedly. And then so he was on with me yesterday again on the show. And we're walking up. He goes, yeah, I told my mom I was doing the daily again today. And she's like, oh, really? After you accused that man of being a sex addict, they still let you be on the show?
My favorite jokes that have come from this are Deshaun Watson trying to figure out where Jed York was.
Yes.
I saw that yesterday, too.
The guy running as fast as he could.
I tried to keep my laughing to a minimum, but okay. I couldn't help myself.
So I was listening to Jason White or whatever his name is. Fox on the way home. I know that's I know that's not this station. I apologize.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I know who you're talking about.
But yeah, I was listening to him on the way home, and he was talking about it. It wasn't just 140, it was 160.
Oh. A little bit more expensive.
Because he volunteered to pay 20 extra to not use a condom. I mean, this story gets nothing but worse.
I can't believe we've made it here at 9:06 this morning.
Boy, Corey said he was going to be a talking monkey today, so.
Well, no, I mean, look, when I heard that, I'm like,
No, you're right.
This is stacking bad decisions. So, you know, you talk about practicing, you know, stacking good days. This is stacking bread. This guy's a billionaire.
Yeah.
I mean,
and his life's ruined over $160.
I've made plenty of bad decisions in my life. No.
Yeah.
No.
The Jed York Robert Kraft Support Group. I don't know when it meets, but
You know what, Robert
it should meet more often.
Robert needs to find that judge, just like all these football players find the right judge.
Yeah, that is true.
Because Robert found the right one, Jed needs to just go find the right one. I think they already got it talked down to disorderly conduct.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, NFL didn't care about that.
Yeah, we will. We will talk more about the friendly judges later on in the show.
Wow,
I'm going to try and make this as good of a transition as we can, but I mean, this is about as bad as it can get. But before we get into sports, I did want to remember Dolly Parton today.
Well,
shortly after we got off the air yesterday. I know. As soon as you said that, I was like, man, this is going to be a rough, rough.
You know what? There
pivot.
There is no rough pivot to Dolly. They're right. All good. I actually spent Sports Extra Daily yesterday.
Yep.
We spent the first 15 minutes of the show. It's only a 30-minute show. I did 15 minutes on Dolly.
Yeah.
And I told everybody, I know this is a sports show. Deal with it.
Right. This is the story right now, no matter what you're in.
Yeah. Absolutely. So. I mean, look, she, when you look at the entire world, all right, was it 8-9 billion people now?
Yep.
She's in the upper 0.00001% of human beings.
Yeah. She might be top 100 of all time.
I mean, I put out a poll. I haven't looked at the results lately. Of top four Tennesseans of all time. And you could put 40 different names on that list. But with Twitter, you can only pick four.
Right.
So, of course, I take a lot of flack for not including this person, not including this person. But I picked the names, so I picked the names. And I picked them all for a reason.
Yep.
And because – and it's funny because, like, with her, music wasn't even why I picked her. You know?
Right.
I'm not a country music fan. I know Dolly.
Yeah.
I know Dolly. But – the music wasn't why I picked her. It was all the philanthropic things and just like the way she unites people and the way she is just an outstanding person.
Right.
I mean, my daughter got Imagination Library books for 5 years.
Right.
My mom read those books to me as a kid. Yeah. I remember.
She drew a picture of the Dolly's multicolored coat and sent it to her in the mail. And when she donated $1 million to COVID research, helped get the vaccine through.
Yep.
When they had those horrible fires in Gatlinburg from those knuckleheads lighting the woods on fire. Didn't she like put 2,000 people through for like 2 years?
I believe I heard a story. I don't know what the exact number was, but I believe it was a lot. Close to that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and then she has scholarship programs, blah, blah, blah. And then so there's all that. And after I put out the poll, then I'm watching. I watched a lot of Dolly stuff last night on Twitter, and I was really glad I did.
Yeah.
I mean, it made me sad. But also I learned more about her. I saw this big tribute by Pink at this one event, and she was talking about – she had 140 charted songs.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
That's an astounding
140?
Number.
140? Look, if she performed for 70 years, which she did – well, close to 70. She started when she was 13.
Yeah, started at 13.
That's 2 a year. That's
right.
2 years.
On the charts.
And I can't remember like how many albums she released. It is just a crap ton.
She even released a rock album too.
Yeah.
Like tried to go
she
that
did,
route.
She did Stairway to Heaven a few years ago.
Well, I saw I had never known this before that she wrote Jolene and I Will Always Love You in
same
the same day.
Day. Same
like that
day.
Is a, that is an same insane day. Thing to write.
Yeah.
Probably, I mean, 9 to 5's up there. Two of her biggest hits of all time in one day.
Growing up in Chicago. You know, there's country music everywhere. We had the Grand Ole Opry on in Chicago, I think, when I was a kid. You know, it was on like Sunday nights or something. I didn't watch it much, but I knew of Dolly from that. But for me, my parents actually took the family to go see 9 to 5.
Wow.
Back in 1980 or whatever. I was like 9 years old. I'm not sure it was real appropriate for me back then. But my mom has always been good. She didn't care. Because she liked Dolly and stuff. So that for me was 9 to 5. Like, if you tell Dolly Parton it's 9 to 5. I know there's a lot of people, like, she sang a bunch of songs with Kenny Rogers
that
did extremely well, and those connect with a lot of people. I mean, like, there's just a lot. When you perform as long as she did, as successfully as she did, you connect with a lot of different people, different generations. And the fact that, okay, you ever watch America's Got Talent?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
I can't remember what the name of the group was, but they were four African-American ladies who were trying to make it in Nashville as a band. And they weren't. They were having trouble getting gigs. And they go on America's Got Talent. They sing Jolene, and they just kill it. And, like, they went all the way to the finals, and I think they're set now. Now they don't have troubles getting booked.
Yeah.
But I just, you know, these were four African-American ladies from different parts of the South, and they all love Dolly. And, I mean, so you can reach other people.
Right.
Number one, by being talented. And number two, by being a good person. I mean, by being a good person, you reach into other people's hearts and they open themselves up to you.
I think she transcends all demographics. I mean, like you said, she appeals to an older generation. But, like, Parker, I totally forgot. Like, she did a song on Post Malone's most recent album with him.
Yeah.
Like, it's like that is how versatile Dolly Parton was. And one of my friends texted in a group chat yesterday and said, Dolly is one of those people you kind of always thought was invincible. And
time she popped up, she's like, I'm alive, right? I'm okay, don't worry about me.
And I think that's why it was such a big shock yesterday of just like...
Well, we didn't know she had cancer.
Right, obviously, yes.
Now, there was a ride debut at Dollywood not too long ago that she was not able to make it.
Yeah.
And you look at it now, because she did a remote.
Right.
And when you look at it now... You're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can kind of put it together.
Yeah, but I guess, like you said, you thought she's Dolly.
Right.
You know, I because, like, for me, I needed her for 10 more years. I needed her for 10 more. And, like, I'm not, like, a big Dolly Parton music fan.
Right.
I'm a Dolly Parton person fan.
I agree. Yeah.
And believe me, I think she's talented.
Her music is good.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. But I'm not a big music person. We all know that.
Right. Yeah. You, Prince, Michael Jackson, Dolly. Not
no,
a fan.
No. You know, I will listen.
Oh,
to,
man.
I listen to Dolly before I listen to them.
That'll get the text line going.
You know what? I actually agree with that. I agree with that, Corey.
All right. And again, I don't hate any of them. I'm just saying.
I just had to throw a jab.
No, it's okay. I was talking with Kendall about this yesterday. And I was like, look, it's like art, all right? I understand that Picasso's a genius, but I don't understand how a bunch of triangles and rectangles made to look like a person is genius.
Yeah.
And I see Monet, and I love Monet, all right?
Right.
I see Van Gogh, and I love a lot of Van Goghs. It's personal choice. It doesn't mean I don't think that Picasso's a genius. His doesn't appeal to me.
Yeah.
You tell me about pointillism, and you say every speck of ink on that sheet was done one point at a time, I go, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I can understand that. It's just not everything speaks to everybody. It's okay. It's okay. We have choice.
Right.
We have choice. And it doesn't mean – I'm not one of these people who goes, well, they suck because I don't like them.
Yeah.
And I'm not even saying I don't like them. I'm saying
– it's just not your favorite flavor.
I don't – you know, I got 15 songs to choose from. They're not on the list. They're just not. They're not.
Well, I think one thing everyone can agree on is
Dolly's on the list.
Whether you liked her music or not, everyone loves Dolly.
Well, okay, this, and I know we have to go, but I want to make this point. She's, like we talked about, in the finest of humans on earth, and there's unfortunately not a lot of people who unite all of us right now. And she is it. You know, you can't find a person to say bad thing. But when you look at her philanthropy as well, I mean, there are other people who give money. But she was a beacon at the top. Somebody needs to fill that. Somebody needs to fill that. Who's it going to be? I don't know. I don't know. But somebody needs to be that unifier for everybody. And, you know, how do you get there? You get there through steady openness. I mean, because, look, Dolly has a lot of points of view that probably aren't popular with some people. She was very open to the gay and lesbian community. You know, she literally, you know, people say, you know, walk the path that Jesus walked. She did. She did. She loved everyone. She didn't judge anyone. She walked to everyone. I know there's people out there who are going to disagree with me. It's fine. It's fine. But she loved everyone.
Yep.
And loving everyone certainly served her very well, because that's what you do, man. And, you know, we all need to have some more Dolly in us. I think if – look, it's tough to walk that path every day because nobody's perfect, but she was pretty darn close. Pick a moment where maybe you're a little less tolerant of something, and I'm going to use a corny line here, and just say to yourself, what would Dolly do? I'm going to choose this moment to be Dolly, and I'm going to be loving, and I'm going to be tolerant, and I'm going to help push us together as a society instead of tearing us apart. And I'm guilty of it too, all right? That's what I'm saying. All of us. She's the upper 0.01%. She is what we should strive to be. And that's it.
100%. Sad day yesterday. Dolly Parton, somebody that brought everybody together. And it's tough waking up today knowing that Dolly Parton is no longer with us. But I agree with your point. Somebody needs to step up and fill that void, because she was one of the great unifiers when there aren't many of them still left in this world. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We would love to hear from you. Our phone line's driven by Wilson County Hyundai, online at wilsoncountyhyundai.com. We'll talk some Titans when we come back. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly with you. Feel like this is going to be a theme throughout the station today of honoring Dolly. I heard Ian was playing almost exclusively Dolly this morning. Feels like it's only right to listen to some of her music today.
Parker was interested in my poll question.
Yeah.
I totally understand. Like, I to tell you this list, so Pat Summitt's not on it. She got tremendous consideration. Like, she was one of the first names that came to my head.
Yeah.
And like Wilma Rudolph was on it. She's not on it, but she was in there. And then there's Tina Turner.
Yeah.
There's Charlie Daniels. There's Jack Daniels.
Yeah.
Charlie Daniels is a good one.
I mean, I just looked up on Wikipedia, famous Tennesseans.
Right.
Because I wanted to make sure I wasn't missing
anybody. Missing an obvious one, yeah.
And I'm going to list. I'm like, oh, man, you could put four. I mean, you could call Peyton Manning a Tennessean. Reggie White.
Yeah.
Lived in Chattanooga. I mean, and these are just, those are athletes.
Yeah.
And so I'm just going on the list. I'm like, I could put 40 people on this list. I'm going to, and you know, when you do this, you're going to upset some people. But for me, I came up with four names I thought for greatest Tennessee, and I have my own reasons for each one of them. And, of course, Dolly was first.
Yep.
You recency bias, you put that on there. And this was one that I thought we get the most pushback was Elvis, because he was born in Mississippi.
Right, born in Mississippi, but you spent most of his life in Memphis.
You cannot say Memphis without Elvis Presley to this day.
Right.
People don't say Mississippi with Elvis. They say Memphis.
Memphis, yep.
So he's on the list. And then Sergeant York. And I was stunned with how many people who I had to explain who Sergeant York is. By the way, the Tennessee Tech, Tennessee State, they all play for the Sergeant York Trophy every year. Sergeant York in World War I took 132 Germans prisoner by himself.
Wow.
And won the
Congressional. It was an animal back in the day.
Yeah.
He was.
Saved his whole brigade. They were getting mowed down. He went up in this sniper position. He killed 20 to 25 Germans by himself. And then took the rest 132. They gave up, and he marched them out and saved all of his men. Well, you know, just
Tennessee had three presidents too.
Yes, didn't Polk have some big purchase?
Maybe.
I think he did. But the last one is Davy Crockett. You know, died.
He has. Yeah, has to be.
And
right.
He's actually second on the vote.
Davy Crockett would be a lock for me. Dolly Parton's obviously a lock, and Pat Summitt. Fourth is debatable.
Well, Pat Summitt, I really wanted to put on there. I did. And I wanted to put Wilma Rudolph on there. And then I saw Tina Turner and Aretha Franklin, and I'm like, crap.
Yeah, there's too many good ones to come up with a good list of four or five.
Well,
but
I didn't want to have all musicians, all athletes.
Right.
Because, like I said, Dolly's not on there for the music, although the music's a big part of it. Elvis, straight up musician. Okay. You know, he's still an icon to this day. You say Elvis, everybody knows what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, Sergeant York, learn who he is, people. You know, there are certain people who are great Americans who stand out in history.
Yeah.
He's one of them.
Learn who he is. And Davy Crockett to this day, We still know who he is. Well, somebody said to me he was born in another state. I'm like, I don't know, man. Everybody knows he's from Tennessee.
Well, I mean, he's part of the reason it's the Volunteer State, right? Yeah, like, yeah, I mean,
it's a pretty good reason.
Like, he wasn't the only Volunteer, but yeah, like that's why it's called the Volunteer State. Yeah. Like, that's a pretty big stamp to have there.
So Dolly's got 70% of the vote.
Yeah, which makes sense given the news.
Davey got 16%. Elvis got 9%. So there are other people who go the other way. There are people who love Elvis.
I'm not going to be upset with that if that's the fourth, but I feel like there are three locks.
Well, and the fourth is Sergeant York at 5% because I think not enough people know who he is. I look, if you want to say Pat Summitt's a lock, I'm not going to fight you on that. All right? That's if I had a fifth, she was it.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
She's a lock, for me.
And for me, probably Wilma Rudolph is sixth.
4312 mentions Andrew Jackson. That's another president.
Yes, maybe has some.
Yeah, there's maybe some problematic stuff there too.
But I get it.
But right, like,
I get it. I mean, look, I was having this talk with someone yesterday, you know, with Andrew Jackson's warts, also a product of the time he grew up and lived. I mean, I'm not making excuses for all of it, but that's what the world and what this country was at that point.
Yeah,
and he's just following through with it. And, you know, because we talk about like George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, great Americans. They were slave owners. But that was part of this country back then.
Right.
And not to excuse it, but it, you know, you got to take the good with the bad. And, you know, we wouldn't leave George Washington off a list of great American presidents.
He is quite literally on the Mount Rushmore of American presidents. Matthew in Nashville says, tell that to all the dumb Texas people who try to claim Davey. Texas claiming things that aren't theirs from Tennessee seems to be a trend over the last couple of days.
Yeah.
UT. They wouldn't be a state without us. That's all I'm going to say.
What's the original UT?
Texas is still Mexico without Tennessee. So.
Nevada Josh says Daniel Boone.
Yeah, there you go.
Hair Metal Henry says, greatest Tennessean, I will die on the Joe Dubin Hill.
Oh.
Okay, well, adding another.
I don't think he makes the cut. Sorry, Big Joe. Love you.
Sorry, Big Joe. We love you. But yeah, 615-737-1025 is the phone number. A lot of good answers on the best Tennessean here.
Like I said, you could probably find 40 names to put on that list.
Vandy Chris on the YouTube chat said, did you talk about Dolly doing Stairway to Heaven and absolutely nailing it?
Yeah, I saw it. I saw it for the first time last night.
I mean, it's
the He's Alive performance at the 1989 CMAs. That one got me to tear up yesterday.
Yeah.
I saw something with her and Johnny Carson that really was touching yesterday. She wrote a tribute song to Johnny Carson thanking him for what he meant to her career.
Yeah.
And they were like, that's amazing. That could be a top 10 hit right now. And it was, because she just popped it off. I wonder like what the total number of songs she wrote was. It had to be like in the thousands.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's insane. Like some of the songwriters, I just don't get, like, they can just come up with that and it's a hit immediately.
She was Taylor Swift before Taylor Swift. Right.
Right. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll continue to take your thoughts on Dolly. Of course, sad news yesterday of her passing. Again, somebody that we thought was invincible. But we will talk some Titans coming up next. We'll get into yesterday's practice. We were both out there. All three of us were out there,
Speaking
actually.
Of which, they will have a moment of silence for Dolly.
Yes. And also, flags over at the Titans facility are at half-mast today, which they should be.
Well, they are everywhere.
Oh, okay. Across the whole country? Okay. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Jake Lyman, what you got?
England's military band played 9 to 5 in Buckingham Palace.
That's
this morning.
Awesome.
Love that.
Again,
I love that.
The great unifier across all countries, all races, all generations.
That's pretty.
That's really cool.
Yeah, that's pretty incredible. Sorry. Some things you see and you just didn't see coming.
I wanted to, you seem moved by it. I wanted to make sure we got it in.
Is this real? Wow. Wow. A bunch of guys in big black fuzzy hats popping out 9 to 5.
It's great. 615-737-1025. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. Keep up with training camp with 1025 The Game for the latest updates, player interviews, and more as we get you prepped for the upcoming football season. Coverage of training camp is presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants, Parman Tractor and Equipment, Nelson's Greenbrier Distillery, and Tri-State Water, Power, and Air. The Tennessee Titans welcoming in the Chicago Bears tomorrow.
Bears.
joint practice. We've got our two Bears experts in here.
Yeah.
I know Parker not necessarily a Bears fan, but like spent enough time in Chicago.
I root for the Bears when they're not playing the Titans.
Right. So we'll get into what the joint practice is going to look like a little bit later in the show. But we were all out at practice yesterday. I will say, hosting the show and trying to watch practice, I don't see every play.
Mm-hmm.
But based on what I saw, I believe that was Cam Ward's worst practice of training camp
really?
So far. I missed the second interception to Alante Taylor, but I saw at least three just misses on passes over the middle.
I probably wasn't watching close enough because I was sweating like a hog and constantly wiping sweat out of my eyes.
It was hot out there.
And I was by PK, so we were talking nonstop.
Yeah, it's funny. PK said on Robbie and Rex Road this morning that he wasn't quite as attentive as he could have been yesterday.
Yeah, it was me, him, TD, and it might have been somebody else.
Once you get into the joint practices and the preseason games, I feel like the results of those practices, no one cares quite as much.
Well, the other problem was is we were limited on where we can stand, and they were far away.
They were on the far field yesterday.
And then we got a wall of bodies in front of us, so our vision is really, really obscured.
What I've really struggled with is when the joint practice against Seattle took place, and we were in the middle watching the defense on one field and the offense on the other. It was so hard to watch back and forth. Yeah.
I did not see every throw he made. I did see he made a nice throw in the red zone period to hit Wandale Robinson
for a
touchdown.
The one in the left corner?
Yes.
Yeah,
so that was a good
really
throw.
That was a really nice ball and catch.
But I saw he overshot Gunnar Helm once. He overshot Ridley once, I want to say.
Well, he's had a quiet camp.
Yeah, he has. He had
DK's had a quiet camp too.
Yeah, Iamanner has really come on. Like I wouldn't be surprised if we see Alec Iamanner getting more run than maybe we expected at the beginning of camp. But again, overall, it's one practice, but you would have liked to see a bounce back day after another lackluster performance in the preseason game. And I thought the offense in general was just not very good yesterday.
Yeah.
Five interceptions between the quarterbacks.
Because I was going to say, I thought Mitch Trubisky was terrible yesterday.
Yeah, Trubisky wasn't good.
He's had a number of practices that haven't been good.
Levis, I didn't see a ton of him. I know he did throw one pick.
Yeah,
I think it was a pick
either.
Six to Mario Goodrich, who TD has making the team right now, by the way.
They're a little thin back there.
They are.
Goodrich, Tony Adams had picks. I think
Alante had a pick. Kevin Winston had a pick.
Okay.
And then there was one more that I'm forgetting. But, overall, it was not a good day for the offense. I wouldn't say Cam Ward was horrible, but I do think it was his worst practice I've seen in person.
And again, I'm not making excuses. Do you want to see him play better? Yes. But you also don't know the context of all of it.
Right.
Of are they working on things? And, you always hear about making throws that you wouldn't make in games because, you're working on things.
Yeah, trying to see what you can get away with.
Now, when you go into the preseason and you don't look great, that's what makes it more concerning. And I'm not numb or stupid to that. I'm just, Titans are 7-1 in their last 8 preseason games.
Yeah, they are.
And it's meant absolutely nothing, all right? So you take the good and the bad in the preseason and you go, okay. I mean, like, the defense, concerning at this point.
Yeah.
But don't we all still believe the defense is going to be the strength of the team?
I would say yes, but my confidence in that has gone down based on what we've seen.
So I asked Gus Bradley yesterday about, like, the lack of pass rush from the first unit. And I said, is that a lack of scheming or guys just not winning enough one-on-one battles? And he was like, yeah. He goes, right now we're working on things. We're seeing what guys can do. So we're not setting them up for one-on-one wins, and we're maybe asking them to do things we won't ask them to do in the regular season. Like, you go back to, like, one of those Cam Ward drives that fails, 4th-and-1 to Tony Spears.
Right.
I don't believe that when the regular season
gets here.
It's
not a quarterback sneak.
Well, no, but I don't believe it's a run to Tajay
Spears. Yeah, that is true.
Over Austin Schlotman. Okay.
Yeah.
And I know that Carmona was kind of got blown up on that play, but I believe it's going to be Tony Pollard or a bigger back, whoever that is, over.
Over a run up the middle to Tajay Spears. Yeah. Yeah.
I think you ran a play that you wouldn't run in that situation.
Right.
And so those that, and I just use that as an example. Like that, you know, when you need to make better throws, you need to make better throws. There's, I mean, like the throw, everybody talks about the throw to Gunnar Helm. You know, Gunnar's got to be able to get his feet down on that.
Yeah.
Could the throw be better? Yes, it is. But the worst one was the short one where he almost got Gunnar killed.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a terrible throw. I mean, Gunnar's 19 feet tall.
Yeah.
And you're making him, you know, you're laying him out. I mean, that's one where the guy comes back to the huddle and he's like, you're off the Christmas card list, man. I mean, that, you know, that's one. Because, like, you know, the big pass to Tony Pollard.
He let him in stride. It was put perfect. It right where it needed to be. Yep.
And that's why he never broke stride.
Right.
Like you said, let him in stride. He never, and that's one of the reasons he was able to go 33 yards, I think, on that play. But so that's my long way of saying we don't know all the context of things, but you are allowed to be concerned.
Yeah.
But I'm just going to say it might not be as bad as it looks. You got to leave room for that.
Yeah, I mean, you can compare it to in spring training. You always hear pitching coaches say, well, yeah, we wanted, like, Paul Skeens might get lit up for five runs. And it's like, well, he was working on his slider.
He was working on a fourth pitch.
Right, and he was throwing it for the first time, and guys were seeing it out of the hand well. And it's like, that's one thing rather than, well, he just couldn't locate it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and he couldn't find the strike zone all day. That's more concerning than, you know, guys were just seeing the pitch out of the hand. That's something we got to work on.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. Reasons for concern, but yes, we are not in these meeting rooms. We don't know the context of everything that's being asked.
Do I think that the coaches are a little too rosy about it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
I agree.
I think they are. I think we're not blind. But again, they know the context better than we do.
Right. But whatever the context is, it's still not good when your starters are losing to their backup 16-3.
Well, and what was he, 8-for-12?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, so that's
with two passes that probably should have been completions to Carnell Tate and Gunnar Helm.
And, you know, I saw the stat that the guy put out where he doesn't have a pass over 7 air yards. Could have had 2, but again, those passes could have been better. But, you know, I was at practice with you last week. They worked the short game all week last week. That was what they worked. So when they did the short game in the game,
it wasn't surprising.
No, I'm like, this is an extension of practice.
Right.
You know, they're trying to get Cam to stop hunting on every play.
Right.
You know, to say, hey, make these throws and we can still move the football. And they could. They just didn't advance some critical third and fourth downs when they could have. And all, the other thing that was concerning to me is the ball security on the ball that got knocked away.
That's the one thing that I think concerns everybody, and it's not something that you can just brush off and say, well, it's
preseason. No, well, he had that problem to begin last year. He got better.
He got better. Just being careless with it.
That was careless. That's the whole coach holding out like a loaf of bread. I don't know if he carries a loaf of bread like that, but apparently people did back in the 1950s.
Well, yeah, and it's just, yes, you can say that Chaz Surratt made a great play to dive and knock it loose.
Got to have awareness.
But
got to have awareness.
He can make whatever play he wants. If you're holding it more securely, he can't knock it loose, right? I mean,
the ball's literally being held behind him.
Right. You have to have more awareness.
He looked like he was passing a baton.
Yeah. It was not good, and that's something that I'm sure has been harped on throughout the week. And
it was like the two late throws across the middle.
Right.
They were addressed.
Yes. Now,
have we seen that since?
No. I don't think so.
No, I don't think so either.
615-737-1025. Let's quickly go to the phone lines. Ryan is called in. Ryan, thanks for calling. Good morning.
What's going on, guys? How are y'all?
Good.
Doing well.
Well, no, I'm not great, but that's all right. Go ahead.
With the quarterback situation, I always thought it would be better to get an experienced quarterback instead of through the draft, because the Titans don't know how to develop a quarterback out of the draft with the exception of Steve McNair. So kind of talk about, you know, if Cam doesn't work out, do you think that they go to the free agent route, kind of like the Ryan Tannehill situation? I mean, I know they traded for him, but, I mean, do you think they go the free agent route at all?
Before you hang up, what free agent – do you want them to go get that you think is an NFL QB1?
I would have to look at it.
The answer is Baker Mayfield.
If he's available.
If
Baker Mayfield's available, then yeah. But we still have to see that he's going to be available.
Yeah. And
I do agree with Jared Stillman that Sam Darnold would have been the best guy to go after this past year if we would have taken a quarterback free agent wise 2 years ago, right?
He also had to want to come here, right?
Well, I mean, Jared has agent sources who said Sam would have been happy to come here.
Oh,
And
I hadn't heard that.
There were two choices there. You take Sam, and you take the draft picks that the Giants were offering. And that was definitely a very viable way to go. Or you go with the young quarterback who you think, you know, you get him on his rookie contract for 4 years and you build up everything around him. And if you believe that that young quarterback is the stuff, then you do that. You know, it's still astounding to me that the Vikings let Sam Darnold walk after what he did. But they did. And so, look, that is, you're right. That was certainly a viable option. And I guess you could say you think maybe Mac Jones is the next Sam Darnold. But
right.
If you told me the Titans were going to bank their future on Mac Jones, I can't go there.
Yeah.
I can't go there. And I don't know what other – I mean, you just look at some of the teams. I mean, look at the two guys the Falcons have got. Look at what the Jets have got. I mean, the Miami Dolphins had to gamble on Malik Willis. I mean, and he may work out, but, I mean, there's the sample size is very, very small.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, Tyler Shuck is in year two with New Orleans. He had a strong finish to last year, but we don't know what he is.
Right.
We don't know what he is. I mean, these guys don't grow on trees. That's the hard part about this. I mean, when you look at the Titans roster, they have the first pick of the draft and the second pick of the draft in their quarterback room. All right? One of them went to the playoffs.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, so it's a really tough position to fill. And I just got to tell you, when you say the Titans don't know how to develop quarterbacks.
Yeah, I can't get behind that.
I can't either, because have they struggled maybe too? Yes, the Chicago Bears struggled too as well. But a lot of it has to do with who you draft. Do you get it right? And these coaching staffs have all changed.
Right.
So, you know, yes, Mike Heimerdinger, Craig Johnson developed Steve McNair. Okay. And then you had Norm Chow with Vince Young. And then you had Ken Wisenhunt and Mike Mularkey.
Who was Locker's OC?
Well, that was Mike Munchak, and his OC was Chris Palmer.
Yeah, right.
And then Dowell Loggins.
Right.
And so, look, did all of these teams fail to develop quarterbacks? Maybe, but Jake couldn't stay healthy. Marcus
couldn't stay healthy.
He had a great year, too. We thought he was going to be a star. Couldn't stay healthy. Vince couldn't get to the film room. Okay. You know, look, Vince had every opportunity after Tennessee to still be a success and couldn't do it. And I'm not making excuses for the Titans.
But you can't just write off picking a young quarterback because the team has never done it or hasn't done it in a long time.
Well, this team can't draft receivers, so they shouldn't draft a receiver.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous.
And I always go back to this. Yes, there are exceptions where you find a free agent quarterback who comes in and can win a Super Bowl. Yep. There have been examples. I do not include Tom Brady and Peyton Manning in there because they had already won one before they hit free agency.
I think one of them won six.
But
so, yeah.
Sam Darnold, yes, he went and won a Super Bowl with Seattle. It has happened before.
Yes.
But look back through the Super Bowl champion quarterbacks. Almost all of them were drafted by the team that they won it for. Yeah. And so it's like eventually you're going to have to hit on a young quarterback.
Goff was drafted by
the Rams.
No, not Goff. I'm talking the
Stafford. Yeah, Stafford.
No. I'm sorry, the guy with the Eagles.
Foles.
Foles. Nick Foles.
Yeah.
Nick Foles. Was that his return to Philadelphia?
Yes.
So he left Philadelphia, came back, and won the Super
Bowl. So again, there are examples of it, but
he's not a starting quarterback,
right? He was their backup who came in and had a miraculous run.
Yes.
You look through the Super Bowl champs; most of them drafted a young quarterback and developed them into that player. It can be done both ways, but more often you find a young quarterback in the draft.
Well,
the Titans, it may be Cam Ward, it may not, but eventually they're going to have to do it.
Look, Ryan Tannehill was a good quarterback on a team with a lot of talent around him.
Yep.
He had a good offensive line. He had a good running back. He had A.J. Brown and Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith. He had some good players around, and he was good in that scenario. When the roster faded back, Ryan Tannehill faded back.
Yep.
He was not a difference maker, okay? And so he looked good. Sam Darnold is good. Don't get me wrong. Sam Darnold has a really good team around him.
Yeah.
Kenneth Walker, really good. Jackson Smith and Jigba, maybe the best receiver in the game.
That defense was one of, if not the best defense
absolutely.
In the league.
Absolutely. So Sam Darnold was great, but how does he do on this team last year?
They win more, for sure.
Maybe four or five.
I could see them getting to six wins last year with Sam Darnold at the quarterback, but what does that do for you?
Nothing.
Right.
Well, I'm just saying, I don't know.
the draft picks is what people would point to, is that you would have had,
I agree,
what, five or six more draft picks?
Because if I had voted on which way to go, I would have voted for the Sam Darnold route.
I would have voted for Cam.
And I'm saying I'm like probably like 60-40 on that.
Right.
Because if you believe Cam is the guy, and there's plenty of reason what you saw on tape in college to believe Cam was the guy.
Right.
Then you go with him.
That's my thought was always, you got the number one pick, and if you're convicted on a quarterback, you take him.
I agree.
And so we'll see. Again, there's nothing to say that he's going to be the franchise quarterback, but he still has an opportunity to prove he is.
Last year was brutal, right?
Yeah.
For the team. And Cam threw for 3,200 yards.
Right.
All right? Which, in Titans lore, isn't a bad year. All right? And so that's why I go pump the brakes.
We got somebody the other day comparing him to Jamarcus Russell,
That's stupid. That's stupid. That's stupid.
Jamarcus Russell completed 52% of his passes in his career.
And did he finish a season?
He finished one season. His last year, he had 3 touchdowns and 11 interceptions.
Yeah. Well, Zach Wilson is the guy I always go to. It's just awful.
Yeah.
Like, you watch Tim Tebow. You watch these guys and just awful.
Yeah.
And you're like, that's not an NFL quarterback.
Right.
You know, go to Malik's first 2 years in the league.
Right.
Just awful.
Just looks like a fish out of water.
Yeah. And truly, like, a lot of these guys, they just need time.
Yeah.
They just need time. I mean, you know, there's a reason, like, some guys, they sit on the bench for 2 or 3 years, and all of a sudden they get in and they look. You know, who's the guy they just saw in Seattle? Drew Lock.
Yeah.
Drew Lock. He came in. He was first-round pick, right? First or second?
Second round pick.
But awful.
Yeah.
Awful.
Right. They moved off of him quick.
Yeah. Giants, awful. He's been in Seattle now.
Yeah.
This is second or third year there?
Second
year?
Yeah.
And I know it's a preseason game, but he looked like he knew what he was doing.
Right.
All right? You know, he looked like he understood how this operation ran. He got rid of the ball quickly. It looked very systematic.
Yeah.
Like you want it to look. And, you know, I'm not saying here saying Drew Lock's going to be a starter, but you see what it looks like when a guy's got some experience.
Yep.
And you know, so it does make a difference. And Cam still has some stuff that's got to get coached out of him. And is he a little stubborn with some of it? I would think right now you'd have to say yes. You'd have to say yes. But we'll see what happens.
615-737-1025. We got to hit a break. We will come back. We'll get to your phones. We'll keep talking Titans, and we'll also get to some college football in hour number two. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly. We went way long in the last segment talking Titans.
Corey went way long.
We will talk more Titans in the second hour. We're going to talk a lot of college football in the second hour.
We got some
quarterback ones decided across the state with Vanderbilt and Tennessee.
It's very interesting those happen back-to-back days.
Yes, yes. And, of course, the ongoing saga of NFL players returning to college football. We'll get into some of that, too.
That was something to see yesterday.
Yeah, the
there's a lot of layers to
there
that.
Is. There's one specific layer that I want to hit on, and we'll do that in hour number two. But I did want to mention Saturday, Corey going to be back on the sidelines.
I will.
We got Bears-Titans.
Bears-Titans, 5 o'clock on News 2, Titans Network. Paul Burmeister on the call, former Iowa quarterback. Charles Davis, the VFL, going to be in the booth for color analysis, and I will be down on the sideline just looking really handsome.
I love it.
See if I get Cam Ward and Jeffrey Simmons for my sideline interview. Something tells me I'm not going to.
I will be out of town on Saturday, so I will find a way to watch that, whether it's recorded or if I can find a way to watch it live.
Yeah, you know, people
NFL
always ask
Plus
me why we don't stream it. I'm like, we're not allowed to.
Yeah, it's an NFL rule.
Yeah, we're not allowed. Look, if we could stream it, we would, but we're not allowed to.
Yeah, I know. I think you can get it on NFL Plus. Maybe I'll get it. I'm going to be at a wedding, though, so I don't even know if I'll be able to watch it.
Yeah.
So,
well, you know, and we'll probably see. I don't know if we'll see the starters for the whole first half, but the Titans starters have played more than any starters in the league.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that they probably need to keep playing.
Yeah, I would assume they're going to play a decent amount. It might just depend how much based on what it looks like tomorrow at practice. So 615-737-1025. We see you on the line. We will get to you coming up next. Talk more Titans, get into some college football in hour number two. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game.